Okay, good morning and a good Chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatzia daf Ayin Aleph. We left off on daf Ayin Amud Beis. We are at Esvei at the bottom of three lines from the bottom of the page on daf Ayin Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Leah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, and also by Hindi and Mendy Yudin, and Aaron and Shoshana Tversky, Lila Nishmas, Hindi and Aaron's father, Rav Shlomo Tversky, Rav Shlomo Shmuel ben Ha'admar, Harav Yaakov Yisrael, whose yard site is today, Neshama Shlav Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do today is we're going to continue the discussion as to whether it's a good idea or a bet, whether it's mutter or aser, to lend money to a guy with ribbis. We had this at the end of yesterday's year, where the Gemara had suggested that you're not even allowed to lend money to a Nachri with Ribbis. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the order of priorities in lending money, who's better to lend money to, and who should get priority. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the evils of lending with Ribbis, how terrible it is to lend money with Ribbis. The Gemara is going to have a discussion as to why it is that when the Chumash talks about the idea of selling an Eved Ivri, it talks about a Ger Tzedek, a person selling himself to a Ger Tzedek, and when it talks about the lending money with Beribis, it talks about a Ger Toshav, so that each one is a bit of a Kasha. The Gemara is going to explain what the Kasha is and what the answer is. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when is it mutter to be an Arev on a Ribis deal. Normally the Isser of Ribis is not only on the Malveh and the Loveh, but it's also on the Sofer and the Arev and the Eidim. So when is it mutter? Are there any exceptions to that rule? The Gemara is going to have a discussion of a Jew who serves as a middleman for a non-Jew to lend money to another Jew. So the Jewish money manager for the non-Jew's money, and part of what he does is he lends money Beribis to another Jew. So the Gemara is going to discuss the permissibility of that, and that's going to lead us into the topic of Shlichus for a Nachri in general. And then the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to have five different interpretations of the case where the Jew actually can be a middleman. What exactly is that case? So let's begin. Esvei, three lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. So it says Gemara Esvei. The Rava challenges Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is the one who said at the end, Rav Huna is the one who said, but Rav Nachman quoted, Rav Huna is the one who said that there's an Isser for a Jew to lend money to a Nachri with Ribbis. What do you mean? How could you say that? Our Mishnah says, Lovin Mehen Umalvinosam Beribbis. It said Beferish that you could borrow from them and lend to them with Ribbis. Vechein Beger Toshav, and for a Ger Toshav as well. So it's Beferish that it's Mutter. So I'm Rav Chia Breid Rav Huna. Rav Chia Breid Rav Huna says, no, it's correct that which Rav Huna had said, that you're not allowed to lend to a Nachri Beribbis, but that's only Nisra Midrabanan. When our Mishnah says that you're allowed to, that's for Nitzrucha Ella Bikadei Chayav. That's when they suspend the Yisra Drabanan, because a person needs it for his basic sustenance, for his basic livelihood. Rashi writes that, why would it be Nisra Midrabanan? So Rashi writes, Dilma Asila Misrach. So Rav Shif says that he means that maybe you'll come to lend even to Yisrael. That Asi the Misrach, if you get in the habit of lending money to a Nachri with Ribbis, you'll ultimately end up lending money to Yisrael with Ribbis. And that's what the Rivan writes in Maseches Makos on Daf Chavdal Ramralf. At the end of Maseches Makos, instead of Rashi, is the Rivan. So the Rivan is on the side of the page in Maseches Makos, and that's what he says over there as well. However, we're about to see in the Gemara in just a few lines that according to Ravina, the reason is Shalom Yilmon Mimaisav, that we're afraid that if you lend money with Ribbis to a guy too much, you're going to have a lot to do with him, and then you're going to start learning about his other behaviors and his other activities, and that's the danger of lending money with Ribbis. So the Maram Shif wonders, where does Rashi know that according to Rabbi Chia, there's some other reason, right? The Gemara over here is quoting Amr Rabbi Chia Breid Rav Huna, that Lo Nischa L'Gdei Chayev, but it doesn't say what the reason for the Yisra D'Rabbanan is. So Rashi surmises that the issur is you're going to come to lend money to a Jew with ribbis. Why not just choose what the Gemara says in a couple of lines? It's Ravina's reason that you're not allowed to do it. It's not that you're going to come to lend money to a Jew, but that you're going to connect to the non-Jew too much if you're spending so much time with him in business dealings. So the Marshal discusses this and discusses whether or not there's enough gemina between the two reasons, but it's at least somewhat curious. Tosfos and the Rashba quote in the name of Rashi that Bezman Azeh we're knowing to be Matir B'cholofen, because today we have so many Masim Va'ernonios, we have so many taxes and there's so many financial pressures, so we're Matir even when it's not B'kdei Chayev to lend money to a Nachri with Ribbis. And the Chidush Mamiuchasim L'Ritva, he points out that even the Pasuk that Rav Huna darshins that you're not allowed to lend money to a Nachri with Ribbis is clearly only talking about Yoser Mikadei Chayev, because what does it say? Mar Behono, right? That was the pasuk that he had quoted. That if you're Mar Behono, if you start getting rich off of ribbis, so then it's going to be Lechorin Dalim Yikabtzenu. Then it's going to end up in the hands of non-Jewish kings who take away Jewish money in order to support non-Jewish people. But it's only Mar Behono, a person getting rich. But if it's not a person getting rich, it's only Kedei Chayev, then that wasn't even included in the original pasuk that Rav Huna darshins to tell me not to lend money with ribbis. So this answer that the Gemara is giving, that it's mutter b'kedei chayev, is muchach in the original drasha itself. The Gemara says another possible answer, though. Ravina amar hacha b'tamidicham maskinan. When the Mishnah says that you're allowed to lend money to an achri with ribbis, it's talking about tamidichachamim. At that time, my gazer rabbanan, why is it that rabbanan were gozer not to lend money with ribbis to an achri? Shema yilmon mimaisav. It's because you might come to learn from his behaviors. So that gzera only applies to amei aretz. But came the tamil chachamu lo yilmon mimaisav. But the tamil chacham we assume is not going to learn from the behaviors of the Nachri, because Talmud Chacham's Torah is going to protect him, and therefore he's going to be saved from learning from the terrible behaviors of the Nachri. The Maram Shif points out that it's such an interesting reason that Shema Yilmon Mimaisav, that you might come to learn from the way that he behaves. Yeah, if I might come to learn from the way that he behaves when I lend money to him with ribbis, why not just make an issur that I'm not allowed to do any business dealings with the Nachri? I'm not allowed to sell anything to him, buy anything from him, because Shema Yilmon Mimaisav, it's not really about the ribbis at all. It's complete. I mean, according to the way Rashi said earlier that within the first Mahalik that you'll come to lend money to a Jew with ribbis, it'll be intoxicating. It's easy money that I made. Look, I'm going to start lending money to a guy with ribbis. I'm going to see what a good business it is. So I'll start doing that with the Jew also. And I'll even convince myself I'm a Baal Chesed because I'll charge a lesser interest rate maybe to the Jew. Whatever it is. But when it comes to Shema Yilma Mimaisav, that Lechora is very difficult to understand, because that should apply equally to all business dealings. So the Maram Shif says, yeah, it could apply equally to all business dealings, but the reason the Gemara does not think it applies equally to all business dealings is because any other type of deal, buying, selling, anything else, I could do that equally with a Jew. So I'm less likely to be lomid from the Nachri. But when it comes to ribbis, I know that I'm not allowed to do that with the Jew. So if I start making that my living, then I'm going to be locked into operating purely in the non-Jewish world, and therefore it's a greater risk of Yilmud Mimaisav. Tosus writes, for this very reason, that Bizman Azeh, where we're Shruyim Beno Umos, and it's not possible for us to engage in business outside of the non-Jewish world, there's no longer, we don't ask a ribbis any more than Masa Umatan. And that's why, I mean, what all the Rishonim work on is why it is that we're completely matir, lending money to a non-Jew with ribbis, Bizman Azeh, even though the Gemara made it sound like it's really usher on a drabana level. So that's what Tosus says. It's just there's no holding us back from doing business with Nachrim anymore, because that's the only way we're going to live. So since there's no holding us back from doing that, so there's no difference between lending with ribbis and any other business deal. The Ramban quotes a Machlokas Rishonim over here, whether these two answers are mutually exclusive, meaning are they two separate answers, or is one building on the other. Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by the Ramban, that Ravina is just adding to that which Rabbi Chiya said, that according to Ravina, there's the only heter Talmud Chacham has is when it's also B'Kitei Chayev. That it needs to be B'Kitei Chayev Aleph, that's Rabbi Chiya's answer, and then Ravina adds another qualification, and also only if you're a Talmud Chacham, that you need both of those things. Whereas the Ramban himself says, no, these are two separate answers. Rabbi Chiya holds B'Kitei Chayev is mutter for anybody, even in Amma Aretz, and Ravina says the Talmud Chacham is mutter, even if it's Yoser Mikadei Chayev. Ika demasi la lahad Rav Huna aha to Tanya Rav Yosef. However, others have Rav Huna's statement having nothing to do with lending money to a Nachri Beribis. Rav Huna just said, "Oh, this is talking about a Nachri." So the first version of Rav Huna was that he was talking about Ribis, and he was saying that that there's an Isser to lend money to a Nachri with Ribis. But others have Rav Huna's comment on a totally different pasuk that has nothing to do with ribbis. The pasuk says, "Im kesef talve es ami es ha'ani imach." That there's a mitzvah to lend money to people who need a loan. That we often emphasize the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is a good thing to emphasize. But there's an entirely separate mitzvah in the Torah to lend money to people who can use a loan. That's what Rashi on Chumash writes. That even though the pasuk says "im kesef talve," "im" sounds like if you choose to choose not to, it's up to you, that it's not really a mitzvah, that normally the word im in the Torah is a rishos, but there are three places where the word im in the Torah introduces a tzivoy, introduces a mitzvah, and this is one of those three places. So there's absolutely a mitzvah in the Torah to lend money to people. So the Brisa darshins that when it says es ami, it's coming to tell me that ami v'nachri, if you have ami means a Jewish person that wants to borrow money from you, and also a Nachri wants to borrow money from you. So what's the order of precedence? Ami kodem. Then you got to lend money to the Jew before you lend money to the Nachri. And then it says es ha'ani, so we darshin ani va'ashir ani kodem. If a poor person and a wealthy person both want to borrow money, meaning a lot of times wealthy people borrow money for big things that they want to do, big investments and big opportunities. So a poor person and a wealthy person want to borrow money from you, so the ani comes, takes precedence. Aniyecha v'aniye ircha. If you have the option of lending money to your own family members or to other people in your city who are not family members, aniyecha kodmin. Then the aniyim in your own family come first. If the opportunity comes up to lend money to someone in your city or to a poor person in another city, people who are more local take precedence. You have very similar halachos when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, but these dinim of kedima apply to lending money with ribbis, to lending money, not with ribbis, to lending money as well. So Amar Mar, Ami v'nachri, Ami kodem. We just said that if you have the option to lend money to a Jew or to a non-Jew, so a Jew takes precedence. Pshita, of course a Jew takes precedence in lending money. All this has been on the chaver who apply to a Jew and typically don't apply to a nachri. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna lo nitzrucha tafilu l'nachri brivis l'Yisrael b'chinam. No, the chiddush of this pasuk is that even if lending money to the nachri is a business opportunity, you're going to make money because you could charge ribbis for a nachri, and if you were to take those same funds and lend them to Yisrael, you're not going to make any money off of that because it's going to be b'chinam, it's not going to be b'ribbis. So still you should give preference to lending money to the Yisrael rather than the nachri. The Chavetz Chaim has chapters in Avos Chesed about this mitzvah of lending money to Jewish people, and Chavetz Chaim discusses over there that even though there is a preference to lend money to Yisrael without ribbis over a nachri with ribbis, but if your whole business is your whole parnasa is made by lending money to a nachri with ribbis, so then you're allowed to do that, because this is talking about where it's like just some extra money you happen to have on the side. So what do you do with that money? It's better to lend the money to a Yisrael who needs that money. But if that's the whole way that you make a parnasa, so then you're allowed to use that money to lend to a nachri. So now the Gemara brings a brisa about how terrible it is to lend money with ribbis. Tanya, Amar Rav Yosi Bore. By the way, in general, that not it's only by lending money. Whenever you have an opportunity to give business to a Yisrael or to a nachri, there is a preference to give the business to a Yisrael. That's what some of the Rabbanim were pointing out after Pesach, that there are people that are very makbid, that they not only will they not eat chametz shavar lav Pesach, because that's obviously an issur chametz shavar lav Pesach, it's an issur midrabanan, but even if a Yisrael sold the chametz, I don't want to rely on his mechira, so I'm only going to shop by non-Jewish stores after Pesach, because I don't want to rely on the mechira. The chumrah that a lot of the Ashkachas have, that you'll see baked after Pesach on the boxes. So that's for people who have such a chumrah. So if you want to buy from Yisrael, the Yisrael bakery will guarantee you this food was baked after Pesach. Rabelski Zichrono Levracha did a little bit of investigation, and he said, yeah, a lot of those places that advertise baked after Pesach, a lot of them will, for the first week or two after Pesach, when people are thinking about it, they'll sell the stuff that they bake after Pesach. The other stuff that they sold has been in the freezer the whole time, and then 2 weeks after Pesach, that's when they'll sell that stuff, when no one's paying attention anymore, and no one cares anymore. So whether you need to be makbid about baked after Pesach, it's not really, but if you're going to go to a Nachri instead of going to Yisrael, so I think they quote from Ramesha, that you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to be mefarnes the Yisrael. So instead of, for your chumrah of not wanting to rely on the mechira that the Yisrael did, that the local kosher supermarkets all sell their chametz with a valid mechira, but I don't want to rely on that mechira. So for that chumrah, you're going to violate a mitzvah d'oraisa to provide parnasa to a Jew. So much better to provide the parnasa to the Jew. But anyway, so the Gemara tells us, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bo Rei Sam Yosei Nehem Shal Malvei Beribis. Look at the blindness of Malvei Beribis. Adam Kari Lechaveri Rasha. If someone calls you a Rasha, you're Il Malachai. You're so angry at him. You want to go after him. How could he call me such a name? The Haman, people who lend money with ribbis, Mavi and Adim, they bring Adim to witness this event. Velavlar and a sofer, Vekulmus udyo, and they prepare all the things that are needed. Vekosvin, and they write a shtar to document what they're doing. Vekosvin, and they sign it, and it says, Ploni zeh, Kafar Belukei Yisrael. And pretty much that document says, this guy is a Rasha. So they're bringing Adim to their rishos. They're announcing their rishos. They're documenting their rishos. If anyone, Chas V'Shalom, would say a word, you're a Rasha, I'd hate the guy forever. I would hold such a grudge. And here I am, by letting money be ribbis, I'm documenting my own rishos. Because the Torah says, via Resa Melokecha. So that's when Niri writes, that someone's Malva Beribis, and he's somich on the fact that it's never going to be known, he's kofar in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he doesn't realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in fact watching. If a person has money and he chooses to lend it for free without ribis, that someone who doesn't lend money with any interest, doesn't get involved in ribis at all, he's never going to falter. He's never gonna suffer. You see from there that the inverse is also true, that if a person is malvib ribis, then he's going to lose all of his nechasim. So frankly, Gemara, wait, is that true? That someone who doesn't lend money with ribis, he's not going to lose any of his nechasim? He's never going to become poor? And if you do lend money with ribis, you're going to become poor. See plenty of poor Jews who never touched ribbis, never did a thing with ribbis. So the Rishonim all struggle with the kasha. If you look at the pasuk mentions a lot of milos. It says someone who's halich tamim and poel tzedek and dover ames bulvavo lo ragal al lishono, and then it says oseila lo yimot liolam. Someone who does all of these things, including not lending money with ribbis and five other great mitzvos, so he's lo yimot liolam. So it could be that even though they didn't lend money to the ribbis, the fact that they're mismotetim is because one of the other Averos said it says in the pasuk. Maybe he wasn't always dover ames bulvavo. Maybe it was one of the other things that he didn't do properly. So Tosus suggests that the kasha of the Gemara is that we see tzaddikim gemurim that are mismotetim, people who never do anything wrong, we see suffer. Alternatively, Tosus says that the Gemara's kasha is according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva in Makos Tav Chavdalin, because he darshens the pasuk osa eile as osa achas me ve'ele, that if you do any one of these things, lo yimot. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Anyone? What about someone who doesn't lend beribis? We see plenty of people that don't lend beribis, and still they suffer financially. So that's the how Tosfos deals with this kasha. So anyway, so the Amar Rav Elazar, the Gemara answers, Rav Elazar answers that there's a difference between the financial struggles of someone who lent money with ribis and the financial struggles of someone who never lent money with ribis. Halal mismot in violan. Someone who never lent money with ribis, yeah, he'll go through struggles, but he'll bounce back. Halal mismot in ve'enon olin. But someone who lent money with ribis, he'll have his financial struggles and he'll never bounce back. The Gemara brings another pasuk that tells us that a tzaddik is not going to falter permanently, because the pasuk says that Habakkuk Hanavi had a tefillah, lama sabit bogdim tachrish keval rasha tzaddik mimenu, that Habakkuk was lamenting in his tefillah about the power that Rishayim seem to have over tzaddikim. So Amar Rav Huna, we could be medayik from lashon of the pasuk, tzaddik mimenu baleya, but tzaddik gomer ain't a baleya, that the rasha will be able to swallow up someone who's more righteous than he, but he's not going to be able to swallow up someone who's a tzaddik gomer. If a person is a tzaddik gomer, he's not going to suffer even financially on a permanent basis. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, get tzaddik gomer lini mechiv, v'gatosh avar lini ribis, ein yodem mahu. He says, I don't know why it is that the Torah highlights a ger tzedek when it comes to selling an eved ivri, and a ger toshav when it comes to the issur of ribis. What's he talking about? So the Gemara elaborates. Ger tzedek amar lini mechira, when it comes to a ger tzedek that it talks about when it comes to mechira, he's referring to a tosefta that talks about the punishment one has for doing business with Shemitah produce, that one of the Isurim of Shvius is not allowed to do Masu Matan with Peros Shvius. So in the end, the Pasuk tells us, the Chazal Darshan based on Pesukim, someone who does such business is going to need to sell all of his Metaltalin, and then he's going to need to sell all of his Karkaos, and if he still hasn't done Tshuva, he's going to need to sell himself as an Eved. That's how bad things are going to get. Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'chiyamach achicha imach v'nim karlach, it says in it'll be sold to you, v'lo lach el ger, and not only will he sell himself as an eved to you, but if he doesn't do tshuva, ultimately he's going to have to sell himself to a ger shenemar, because the pasuk says after that leger, it says v'chisas l'gad ger v'sosho v'imach v'mach l'chich imov v'nimka leger, it says, so he's going to be sold to a ger tzedek, v'lo leger tzedek, and not only to a ger tzedek, if he still doesn't do tshuva, leger toshav, he's going to be sold to a ger toshav who's not even Jewish, shenemar leger toshav, because the pasuk goes on to say v'nim ka l'ger toshav. So Nachri is the ger toshav is a Nachri who we discussed the other day. The machlokas, what exactly is mekabel upon himself? Either shev mitzvos or just not to do avodah zara. And then it says mishpachas ger is a Nachri, that mishpachas ger is a Nachri, that if he still doesn't do tshuva, forget about a ger toshav who at least was mekabel upon himself something. He's going to be sold to a Nachri. Kshuomer ole eker, and then it says ole eker zeh nim ka l'avodah chamatzma. If he still doesn't do tshuva. He's going to be sold to the Avodah Zara itself. So Amar Mar, we said in this price, not only will he be sold to a Jew, he'll be sold to a Ger. Shenemar Leger, because the Pasuk says Leger, Lemeimer, the Ger, Kani, Evid, Ivri. Wait, do you mean to tell me, here's the kasha with that? Why, meaning when Rebbe said, I have trouble with why the Torah mentions a Ger in the context of selling an Evid, Ivri, here's the kasha. The kasha is, do you mean to tell me that a Ger has the ability to be Kona and Evid, Ivri? Meaning that's what we're saying, the curse this guy is going to suffer is that he's going to end up being sold to a ger. Does a ger have the right to buy an eved ivri? Or a mini, I'll ask you a stira, ein a ger nikne be eved ivri, ve ein isha ve ger kon an eved ivri. A ger cannot be acquired as an eved ivri, but neither can he buy an eved ivri. An isha also cannot buy an eved ivri. But the point is, how can part of the curse of dealing with, of doing business with Shemitah produce be that you end up being sold to a ger? A ger can't buy you! So it says, when we say ger lo nikna bevet ivri, the reason is that a ger cannot be purchased himself as an evet ivri, is because part of the deal with an evet ivri is Shavel Mishpachto Bi'inan, that he has to be able to return to his family. V'haleka, and a ger doesn't have a family. So Minchas Chinuch points out, sometimes he does, right? In Mitzvah Membeis, Minchas Chinuch points out, maybe he has children, so he has a family. Yeah, but not always. And if those children never die, or, you know, there's a, but a native Yisrael will always have a family. There's no, because the Klal Yisrael never gets fully wiped out. So that's a haftach we have from Kodesh Baruch Hu. There will always be Jews. And as long as there's a Jew, there's some very, very distant family member. So a ger doesn't have always v'shavel mishpachto, and therefore he's excluded from the parsha of being an Eved Ivri. How do I know that a ger is not allowed to buy, is not able to buy an Eved Ivri, and an isha is not able to buy an Eved Ivri? Isha lava rechara. For a woman, it's simply because it's not derech eretz. It's not tznius, because they'll come to violate the nisu yichud, because the Eved's going to be living with her, and she's, so that's not proper. Ger nami, and even a ger cannot be kon an Eved Ivri, because gemiri demakni kani dlo makni lo kani, because we have a tradition, the Chamor Mekabel, the Lachal Moshe Misinai, that only someone who could be purchased as an Eved Ivri, so someone, only someone of such a status can buy an Eved Ivri. But someone who could not be, who could not have the potential to be purchased as an Eved Ivri, which we just discussed, that a ger cannot, can also not buy an Eved Ivri. So the Gemara goes to, tries to answer the Kasha now, right? Meaning we asked, why does the Torah say that if you do business with Shemitah produce, you can be sold to a ger? You can't be sold to a ger, you can't buy an Eved Ivri, says the Gemara. No, when we say that he can't buy an Eved Ivri, it means he cannot buy an Eved Ivri and then have the same ownership of that Eved Ivri that a regular Yisrael would, in that he could be morish to his children, but he could be called an Eved Ivri, and he'll have a din of a Nachri who buys an Eved Ivri, who's not able to be morish that Eved to his children, Ditanya, because we have a Braisa that highlights this point, that Hanirtza, an Eved Ivri who decided to stay with his master after 6 years by getting his ear pierced, and he sticks around until Yovel, Vanimkar the Nachri, and an Eved Ivri who's sold to a Nachri, Eino Ovid Lois HaBen V'Lois HaBas. He does not get passed on to the children. He does not work for the children. So whereas a Yisrael who buys an Eved Ivri can be morish the rest of the years of service that he has in that Eved Ivri to his children, a ger who buys an Eved Ivri cannot be morish the rest of the years of the service that he has to his children. But he can still buy an Eved Ivri for himself. He can utilize the Eved Ivri for himself. So Amar Mar, we had said, ve'ein isha v'ger konen Eved Ivri, that an isha and a ger cannot be konen Eved Ivri. So name it the look of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Is that line in this brisa against Rav Shimon Gamliel? D'tanya isha konen ha-shvachos, ve'ein konen ha-avadim, that an isha could be konen shvachos, but not avadim, which makes sense, because the whole reason that an isha cannot be konen avadim is because of the tznius issue. So with shvachos, you don't have the same concern. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, af konen ha-avadim, that an isha can even be konen ha-avadim. So isn't that directly against what we just said? We said before that Anisha cannot be Kona Avadin. So I feel like Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, it could be reconciled with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Lo kasha. Kan Bevet Ivri, kan Bevet Knani. And the Braisa says a woman cannot be Kona an Evet, that's from an Evet Ivri. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says a woman can be Kona Avadin, that's an Evet Knani. Why? Shouldn't we be concerned? Kal V'chomer, right? An Evet Knani is a Parutz. So shouldn't we be concerned that she, if there's going to be non-sneous things that happen between this woman and her Evet Ivri, then for sure we should be concerned that things are going to happen between her and Rav Kanani. So says Mar, no, Eved Ivri Tzniyala, Eved Kanani Paritzla. Now it's Dafka, that Pritzos, that makes her not want to do anything with him, because if she were to misbehave with him, he's going to go around and brag about it, so everyone's going to find out about it. Whereas the Eved Ivri is going to be embarrassed about it. Jews are embarrassed about their Averos. So if she misbehaves with him, then it will still be their little secret. No one's going to know about it, and therefore it's a higher risk of a lack of tznius. So that's why she can buy an Eved Kanani, just not an Eved Ivri. So says Mara Elahad Tani Rav Yosef, that which Rav Yosef says, Armalta Lotar Bikalba, that an Almana should not, who lives alone, should not raise a dog. And Rashi writes, because the concern is that maybe she'll commit bestiality. Tos says, Mehechi Tesi, that's quite an accusation, that we think that a Jewish woman is going to do such a thing. So Tosus writes, no, Lo Nechshitu Yisrael Al Kach. But you know what Yisrael are chashed on being choshed other people of doing such things. So it's not that we're actually concerned that she's going to do such a thing. We're concerned that other people are going to say she's doing such a thing, and therefore part of Yisem Nikim that she shouldn't have a dog when she lives alone. Tishri bar be'rav bu'ush visa. And she should not host a yeshiva bacher in her house because she may be mezana with him. Bishlam bar be'rav einstein not host yeshiva bacher tzniyala because she knows that he'll be very tzniyah about it, he'll be quiet about it, and therefore they have a relationship. She feels secure that it's never going to get out. Ela kalba, but a dog, even the masrichla mirtasa, shouldn't she be afraid that the dog is going to make it obvious that there's something weird going on between her and the dog? Because as soon as she starts this romantic relationship with the dog, he's going to be following her around wherever she goes, and everyone's going to say, "Why is that dog so connected?" So people are going to assume. So Amri kiven dechishad yilei umtza masuch basra. No, you know what else will make a dog follow you forever? Give him a piece of meat; he'll do the same thing. So Amri inshi mishum umtza dechishad yilei hu demasuch. When people see the dog is very connected to her, they'll assume she's an old lady. She's feeding cats, you know, whatever she is. So why is her backyard full of cats? Because every day that's how she entertains herself. She puts out a little milk for the cats. That's what everyone's going to assume. No one's going to assume she's doing something with these animals. Ger Toshav Amar Lin Ribis Mayhi. What's the issue about Ger Toshav that Rabbi asked about when it comes to ribis? Tichsiv, the pasuk says v'chiyamach chichom mati yado imach v'chzak tebo ger v'toshav v'chay imach al tikach meit. So it sounds from the pasuk that the issue of ribis that's mentioned in the second of those two psukim is going on achicha as well as the ger toshav that was mentioned in the previous pasuk. So apparently you're not allowed to lend money to a ger toshav with ribis. So with that we have a kasha uriminhi. Our Mishnah said not that way. It said love mehenu malvinos and ribis v'chein beger toshav. That just like you're allowed to lend money to a nachri beribis, you're allowed to lend money to a ger toshav beribis. The second pasuk is not going back on the previous pasuk. We had one pasuk spoke about ger toshav, then the next pasuk spoke about ribis, and the pasuk spoke about ribis was very clear to speak in the singular that you're not allowed to do ribis me'ito from a Jew, but nothing to do with the ger toshav. It's mutter to lend money with ribis to a ger toshav. So now the Gemara brings a brisa as far as being a co-signer on ribis. Tan Rabban al tikach meito neshach v'tarbis. So we darshin aval atanasa lo arev. That you're only not allowed to take neshach v'tarbis from a lova, but you're allowed to be an arev on a chov that has ribis. So says Gemara, wait, arev l'man. Who exactly are you being? Who's the malva here that you're being a co-signer on a ribis loan? Ilem arev l'Yisrael. If we're saying that you're co-signing a loan between two Jews that has ribis, v'atana elu oven belosa say. No, we have a Mishnah that we're going to see on Daf Ayin Hey that says, you know who violates a losa say when there's a ribis deal between two Jews? Hamalva, the halova, ha'arev, va'edim. The arev is also a violation of a lo sase. So there's no way that we could be saying that you're allowed to be an arev on such a loan. Elo the nachri. No, it must be that it's a non-Jew that's lending money to the nachri, and you are asked to be the arev. That's what you're allowed to do. V'kivin to dina de nachri dazel basar arva. But wait a second. The din is in by the nachrim by the secular courts. That the arev is the person that they go collecting from first. That when the malva wants to collect money from the lova, he doesn't go to the lova. He goes to the arev to collect money. So iu niu the kashak mina ribisa, and then the arev goes and gets repaid by the lova. So that's a real ribis problem. Meaning if Ruvain borrows money from Bob and I co-sign it, so when Bob needs to be paid back, I'm paying back the money. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to go to Reuven and I'm going to ask him for the money back. So it's going to turn out that I'm collecting all the ribis from my friend Reuven. So that's just terrible. That's ribis. That can't be that you're allowed to do that. So Rav Sheisha, Shekibel of Lod Medina Yisrael. Now the case must be that the Nachri accepted to follow Dine Yisrael, where by Dine Yisrael, you have to go to the Lova first to collect money. It's only if the Lova doesn't have, then you have recourse to go to the Arev. But really, you go to the Lova to collect your money. So this Nachri has accepted that condition. Well, if he's following all the Dina Yisrael, Ribbis Nami Lalishkal, then why is he collecting Ribbis? There shouldn't be any Ribbis. In Dina Yisrael, there's no Ribbis. So Rav Sheshe should keep a love Lazu, below keep a love Lazu. He's willing to, he has a limit, right? He's willing to accept Dina Yisrael as far as what the details of Arev are, but he's not willing to accept Dina Yisrael not to collect the Ribbis. Maldi Yisrael Ma'osav Shal Nachri Midas HaNachri. Then the Mishnah said, you can lend, a Jew can lend the money of a Nachri, Midas HaNachri, but not Midas HaYisrael. So Tanu Rabbanan, what's this all about? The Braisa elaborates. Maldi Yisrael Ma'osav Shal Nachri Midas HaNachri, Avalo Midas HaYisrael. Ketzad, what is this talking about? Yisrael Shalav Amos Min HaNachri B'Ribis. If Yisrael borrowed money from a Nachri with Ribis Ketzutza, that as long as the Lova has the money, he has to give X amount of dollars of ribbis, ubikesh lach zirum lo, and at a certain point the lover wants to just pay up his mortgage and he wants to buy it out so that he doesn't have any more ribbis payments coming to him, and before he returns the money, mitzo yisrael lach v'armelo, the lover, the Jewish lover, finds another Jew and he says, you know what, don't return that money to the Nachri. Why, you borrowed a few $100,000 from the bank and you got a favorable interest rate? You know what interest rates are now? So don't return it to the Nachri. Let me take over your loan. Give me that money and I'll pay the ribbis. Namely, and I'll give you the ribbis money that you'll then pass on to the bank. You'll pass on to the Nachri. Oh, so you're not allowed to do that because it's still in the Rishus of the Lova, and therefore he's now lending that, it's Ki'ilu, he's lending that money to another Jew, and he's charging ribbis to that other Jew. But v'midu'etz l'nachri, if the Lova says to the Nachri, look, I'm ready to pay you back, but if you want, I'll, instead of giving it back to you, I'll pass on your money to another Jew who's willing to have the same deal that you had with me, and he's willing to take over my mortgage, he's willing to take over my lease, he's willing to do that. So mutter, that you're allowed to do, as long as the Nachri is involved in the process, because then it's ki'ilu, the Nachri was makabel the money, and has now lent it out again with a new ribbis deal. That first way of doing it, where one person is on the deal, and then another person says, I'll take over for it, is something that's very tricky. A lot of people mess this up. A lot of times, parents want to help out their kids with a mortgage from the bank. So the parents take out the loan, and the kids end up paying the ribbis because the kids can't get a loan. So the parents will take out a loan, and then the kids. So that's very tricky. That not so possible that you're allowed to do that. That the parent is taking on himself the responsibility that he's borrowing the money, but then the kid is the one that's paying it back, and the bank doesn't know the kid. So it's really that if the bank doesn't know the kid, then the parents are really lending money to the kid who's paying the ribbis, and then he's just passing it on to the bank. But it's really a ribbis problem. So v'chein nachri shalav amos miyisrael beribbis. You have a similar situation where a nachri borrows money from a yisrael with ribbis who bikesh lachzirim lo, and the nachri is ready to return it mitzo yisrael lacher, and he finds another yisrael v'amar lo, and he says to the nachri, don't return the money. T'neim li, give it to me. V'ani alecha k'derek shatamal lo muter, and I'll give it the way you would have given it, that's mutter. Because since the money is in the reshus of the Nachri, who's the Love, so he's now the one that's being malda it to this Yisrael, and it's not the Yisrael. But if they go back to the original malda, and the Nachri says to the malda, instead of me paying you back, I'll just pass it on to this Yisrael, and he says, great idea, usher, that's going to be usher. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam a Seifa, I understand very well in the Seifa that if the Nachri gives the money to the second Yisrael with the instruction of the first Yisrael to do that, so that's aser, because even though mitzad adin a nachri doesn't have any shlichus, but lechumra he's going to have shlichus el reisha the kibin dein shlichus nachri. But in the case of the reisha, a nachri doesn't have any shlichus. You need the kashakal mina rabisa, and therefore it should turn out that the first Yisrael is the one that's being malda lechavero and taking ribbis from him. So why does the brisa allow it in the reisha if we can't view it as if the nachri is a shliach? Meaning, even if you consult the Yisrael and the Yisrael says to the Nachri, even if you consult the Nachri rather, and the Nachri says that you can give it to the Yisrael friend, pass on the loan to Yisrael friend, he can't be your, the Yisrael can't be the shliach of an achri. So Amar Rav Huna bar Menachem, Mishmei Dravacha, Breid Ravika, Hach Meskin, and the Kol Na Amar Lei, Hanich Mal Gabi Karka V'Yipater. So answer number one is, no, he didn't, the Nachri told the first Yisrael, put the money on the ground, and you're done with this chov. And he did, and then the second Yisrael took the money. He picked the money up off of the ground, before all money was electronic, right? So he picked the money up off of the ground, and therefore he took the first loaf that didn't do any maisa alva. Well, if they did that, then what's the chiddush? Obviously, that's mutter. No, the case is the Nachri actually took the money back from the first Israel, and then he gave it to the second Israel, and that's why there's no problem over here. So vakati ma'alameimra, still really not a chiddush that's allowed to be done. The Nachri got paid back from the Israel. Now he has a new deal with this other Israel. So ma'al detema Nachri gufei ki avad adaita di Israel kagamar v'yayiv kamash malan. I might have thought that the Nachri is only acting as a proxy of the Israel in that case. So kamash malan, that's okay. Ravashi Amar, another, you don't have to say that the Reish is talking about that the Nachri was not till the Nasim Biyad. It could be that the first Lova gave it to the second Lova, and still it's going to be Mutter, even though there's Ein Shlichus Nachri. Because Ki Amrin Ein Shlichus Nachri, Hani Mili B'Truma. When we say Ein Shlichus Nachri, that's a din in Truma, that a Nachri cannot be a Shliach to be Mafresh Truma for you. Aval B'Kola Torah Kula, but elsewhere in Torah, Yei Shlichus Nachri. A Nachri has the ability to be a Shliach. But that's not accepted. Because Maishna Truma Dilo, why is it that a Nachri cannot be a Shliach when it comes to Truma? Because the Pasuk says, Atem, and Gam Atem. It says the word Gam Atem. So we darshin, Ma Atem B'nei Bris, just like B'nei Yisrael, who the Torah was given to, are B'nei Bris. Avshul Chacham Nami B'nei Bris. Whoever is going to be your Shliach, who we derive from the word Gam, also has to be B'nai Bris, but not a Nachri. So the same is true. Shlichus to Kol Torah Kulanami, Mi Truma Gamrinala. We learn the very concept of Shlichus from Truma, so it's going to have the same rules everywhere. Elad Ravashi Barusahi. And that's why we don't appreciate the answer of Ravashi. So Ikeda Amri Am Ravashi, another version of Ravashi is, Ki Amrin Ein Shlichus Nachri, Hanimil Inu Lididon, Avalanan Liditu, Avinalu Shliach. When we say Ein Shlichus Nachri, it means the Nachri cannot be our Shliach. But we could be the shliach of a Nachri, and that's why the case in the Brisa works out. Says Gemara, V'had Ravashi Barusihi. That's not correct. Maishna inu l'didon d'lo. Why is it that they can't be our shliach? T'chsiv atem, gam atem, l'rabu shluchachem, ma atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem b'nei bris, well, anan l'didu nami, ma atem b'nei bris, ka'amar, Yisrael also can't be a shliach for a Nachri, because the din of shlichus, it works in both directions, and it says atem, so it's got to be b'nei bris. Ella had Rav Ashi Barusihi. Therefore, we reject Rav Ashi. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ravina's answer of how the ratio of the Brisa works out, considering that there's Ein Shlichus Lenachri. Have a good day, everyone.